Go to Matthew chapter 7, if you would. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 21. We read this in a very challenging verse. Jesus is talking and he says to the people, listen, not everybody that addresses me as Lord is going to go to heaven. He said, not everybody that prophesies or preaches or teaches something about the Bible is or about God is going to go to heaven. He says, not everybody even, and Jesus said this, not everybody that has even gone so far to even cast out a devil, he said, not all of them are even going to go to heaven. He says that as he's talking to the people, he says, listen, there's a lot of you out here, and you're going to say to me one day, we have done some amazing works in your name. We did all these wonderful things. We did it in your name. We clothed people that needed to be clothed. We fed people that were hungry. We took care of people. We sent out teams all over the city or all over the world. And we did all these things. And Jesus said, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. This is a sobering statement. This is a sobering couple of verses. And I want to share with you this morning. And here's the title of the message, What Salvation Is Not. What Salvation Is Not. See, there were people listening to Jesus who had sincerely prayed to God before. And look at there in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. They were sincere. And he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Some very sincere people had prayed to God. But he said to those people, if they have not done the will of my Father, which is in heaven, he said, I'm going to have to say to them, depart from me. I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. And I want you to think ahead. One of these days, you and I will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Well, the Bible calls it the great white throne judgment. Judgment day. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And because of our sins, we deserve to stand before God, and we will stand before Him. And if we have never trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, that is the will of His Father in heaven. If we've never trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, God will say to us, depart from me. Depart from me. I never knew you. And that departing we see is to be cast into what the Bible calls the lake of fire. I want you to know for sure you're saved. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, there is nothing to worry about. The promises of God are secure, and I'll share that with you. But if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and His payment on the cross for your sins, to pay for your sins, if you've never trusted Him completely as your Savior, and you're maybe trusting yourself, or you're trusting being good, or you're trusting going to the church, or you're trusting something you said sometime, somewhere, there may be a day when you stand before God and He says, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So they had sincerely prayed to God, but there were some people listening to Jesus who served God. I mean, they were there. They were the people that would have gone to church. They were the people that would have been serving. And you can pick any ministry you want that a church would have and serving in that ministry. Maybe they would have been singing in the choir, or maybe they'd have been watching the nursery or teaching a Sunday school class. And Jesus is very clear, those things are not going to get you to heaven. You go to church every week if you want to, but that is not going to forgive your sins. See, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, Jesus is talking still, and he says, many will say to me in that day, that's the judgment day, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Listen, Lord, we served you. We did everything that we thought was right. We went so far to even cast out demons, and we prophesied, and we preached, and we were teachers, and we served you. We did lots of good works, and we served the hungry, and we gave to the needy. And Jesus said, if you haven't done the will of my Father which is in heaven, he said, I'm going to have to say to you, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. See, it's not about what we do to go to heaven. It's not about how much we can teach or preach the Bible. It's not how much we can serve. It's about us trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. So this message is what salvation is not. But before we get there, you've got to understand so clearly what salvation is. What is salvation? What is necessary for me to be saved? What will it take for a sinful man like me to be able to go to heaven when I die? Listen, there's two judgments. There's that great white throne judgment that I described. Every person will be there who has not trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I don't mean trusting a church or trusting another saint or trusting your parents because they were part of a church. I mean you personally trusting that Jesus Christ died on the cross and accepting His payment for your sins. That's what we're talking about. If you've done that, you will not be at the great white throne judgment, but every single person who's ever lived will be there standing before God. That's the great white throne judgment. There is another judgment, and the Bible talks about this. It's called the Bema Seat Judgment. You can think of this one as the judgment where somebody who has trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior gets the rewards that Jesus promised them. That's a different judgment. Now, if you are saved, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't trust yourself to be good enough to get to heaven, you don't trust going to church or whatever it is, you simply trust Jesus Christ and Him dying on the cross to pay the price for your sins. If that's it, that the Bible says that you will be at this judgment. That is not a judgment to decide where you're going to spend eternity. That's not a judgment to decide whether you're going to heaven or you're going to hell. This judgment, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, is the judgment that will determine what rewards you have as you go into heaven that you get to lay at the feet of our Savior. But I want you to understand there are two judgments. The great white throne judgment, and that is the judgment for everybody who has not trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then there's the other judgment, and that's for those who have trusted Christ as their Savior. You need to understand the difference there. Now, every person is a sinner. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. We're all a sinner. We all deserve to stand before the great white throne judgment because of our sin. Salvation is the fact that Jesus came to this earth. He died on the cross. He paid the price for your sin so you don't have to. Salvation is what happens when you trust Him to forgive your sins. You trust Him to be your Savior. You trust Him for eternal life. And that is when salvation happens. So what is salvation? John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." What is salvation? Salvation, the word believe, is trusting in Jesus Christ, His only, the only begotten Son of God, is trusting Him for eternal life. The very next verse, the Bible says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." And in the very next verse, there's a description to help you understand the difference between trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, being saved, or not trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Here it is. It's John 3:18. "He that believeth on Him," that's Jesus, "he that believeth on Him," that means you put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior to forgive your sins. "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." And those are the only two positions. Either you have believed on Him, I think I used this side, either you have believed on Him, you've believed on Jesus Christ, you've trusted Him as your Savior, or you have not believed on Him. And the Bible says if you have not believed on Him, you are condemned already. That means in God's eyes, He is the judge, He's the holy God, and He's the holy judge. In God's eyes, if you have not trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are already destined to an eternity in a place called hell. You are already condemned. As if you were standing before God right now, and He says, "You are already condemned." Let me read that to you one more time. "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." Why? "Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now this is not just believing that He exists. You're sitting in a pew. I think that's a funny word. I don't know why they call church chairs pews. But let's just get past that. You're sitting in a pew, okay? You're sitting in a chair, in a bench. We call them a pew. And you're sitting there. You knew that pew existed before you sat down in it. You believed in it, all right? You knew it was there. But it wasn't until you sat down that you trusted it to hold you. And that's the difference. And the Bible says, "He that believeth on Him," as trusting Him, "is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." So right as we begin right here, let me ask you this. Are you today, right now, trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you trusting that He died on the cross to pay the price for your sins? And are you trusting in that to save you? Or are you trusting in being good or being part of a good family or wearing green or wearing red or whatever it is? You can trust all kinds of different things to save you, but the only thing that's going to save you is believing on the only begotten Son of God. Let me read another verse to you. What is salvation? We see that salvation is believing on Him, trusting on Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, verse 8, the Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and then not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." What is salvation? Salvation is a gift. Salvation is a free gift. It's something that you cannot work for, you cannot earn. What is salvation? Salvation is believing, trusting on Jesus Christ as my Savior. Salvation is accepting that free gift. And the only way to get a gift is to accept it for free. I hope you understand that that's the way a gift works. If I was to give you a gift and then make you pay me for it, that's a pretty sorry gift, isn't it? If I was to call you the next time and say, "Hey, I got a gift for you. Why don't you drive across town? I'll give you this gift." You'd be like, "Yeah, right. You're going to make me pay for it once I get there. That's not a gift." A gift is only a gift if you accept it for free. And the Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." If I could earn the gift of God, which doesn't even make sense, right? Because you can't earn a gift. But if I could earn it somehow, and I get to heaven, first thing I'm going to do when I get to heaven, because I got there on my own, is boast about it. And boasting's a sin. That's pride. That just doesn't even make sense. I can't go to heaven and then be proud about me getting myself there. The Bible says the only way to get salvation is to accept it as a free gift. Otherwise, it's me doing it. And I can't do that. You can't do that. Let me read you another verse. Paul and Silas, the Apostle Paul, they were in prison. They were praying. They're in prison for preaching. They were praying during the night, and then an earthquake came and released everybody. It was a miracle. And then the Bible says, "The keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled." The prison guard was supposed to watch the prisoners, but he didn't do his job well enough. He didn't stop the earthquake. He didn't stop people from being able to escape. So he thought, "I'm going to die. I'm going to die because I didn't do my job well enough." So he takes out a sword. He was going to take his own life. But the Bible says, Paul cried with a loud voice saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we're all here." Then he called for a light. The prison guard calls for a light. Somebody brings this light to him. He looks in and he sees that all the prisoners are still there. And the Bible says, "And sprang in," he comes in quickly, "and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas." Can you picture this? Here's the dungeon. Paul and Silas are in this prison. The earthquake has happened. The jail guard comes in. He thinks that they're all escaped, but he sees that they're all there. And he's thinking, something is going on. There was this earthquake. They could have all escaped. I just about killed myself because I thought that I was going to lose my life anyway. This is the Roman government and army we're talking about. He would have lost his life if his prisoners would have escaped. He comes in, he sees that they're all there. The Bible says he springs and he comes in trembling. And then the very next verse he says, he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" What a great question. What must I do to be saved? And Paul answers him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And thy house, full family can get saved if they'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." I want you to consider this. This man asked a very simple question. What do I need to do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? The Apostle Paul, one of the writers of Scripture, one of the ones that wrote, probably, I think he may have written more of the Bible than anybody else. And he says to this man just asked him, "What do I need to do to be saved?" And he says to him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." He didn't say, "You need to go to church on Sunday." He didn't say, "You know, you need to be good." He didn't say, "You need to let us out of this jail." He just said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." There's another time, there's a man named Philip. Philip was one of the preachers. He was a deacon in the church. And Philip was preaching to this man. He was actually teaching him how to be saved. And it's in Acts chapter 8, verse 35. And Philip, the Bible says, opened his mouth, began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He's telling a man about Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, this is a servant that was from Ethiopia, he said, here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? I want you to listen to this carefully. He's teaching him from the Bible. And the man comes, he says, listen, I want to be baptized. I want what you have. I want to identify with you. I want to be the same a follower of Christ just like you are. I want to be baptized. He says, what do I need to do to be baptized? And Philip says to him, it's in Acts chapter 8, verse 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. What do I need to do to be baptized? I mean, if I want to join this group of people called the believers, and I want to show everybody that I'm a follower of Christ, what do I need to do? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about getting baptized even to be saved. It's not about going to church. It's not about giving money. It's not about being good. It's not even about getting baptized to be saved. He said, you've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The very next verse, it's the second part of that same verse, he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we see him going down to be baptized. Salvation is believing God and accepting God's free gift of forgiveness and eternal life. Believing God that Jesus died on the cross. Believing God that Jesus died to pay the price for our sins. So believe that and accept it. In other words, trusting Jesus Christ is the only payment for your sins and the only way to heaven. See, this is different than so many religions teach. So many religions will teach, you got to do this. Yes, we believe in Jesus. We believe he died on the cross and all that. But I believe I've got to go to church. Yeah, I believe in Jesus and I believe he died on the cross and I'm trusting him to save me, but I believe I've got to be good and I've got to go to church and I've got to do this or be part of this particular church or whatever it is. Whatever list of things that you believe that you've got to do in addition to what Jesus did on the cross. But the Bible says that's not the case. The Bible says it's so clear, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. And I would say it this way, believe God enough to ask him. Believe God enough to ask him. How much do I need to believe God? How much faith do I need? Well, the Bible lays it out so clearly. You simply need enough faith to ask him to save you. I'm going to show you that. It's in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In order to be saved, I've got to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. In order to be saved, you've got to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. How much faith did you use this morning when you sat down in that pew? Just enough to sit down. You probably didn't get under it and inspect it. It might have been a good idea. These are older pews and they're second generation pews. You might have got under it and looked, but I don't think anybody did. Most of us, we just kind of walked in, kind of got to do the sideways walk sometimes. There's people there and sat down. How much faith did it take to sit on that pew? Well, it was just enough to sit. How much faith does it take to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? Just enough to ask. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Well, I've spent most of my time this morning telling you what salvation is. In just a couple minutes, I want to tell you what salvation is not. Salvation is not giving your heart to Christ. It's not just saying, I'm giving my heart to Christ. We're not saved by giving our heart to Christ. We're not saved by giving God anything. We're saved by receiving God's gift of eternal life. So if somebody says to you, listen, just give your heart to Christ and you'll know for sure you go to heaven. Giving God anything doesn't save me. Accepting his free gift of eternal life does save me. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is what saves me. Salvation is not surrendering your life to Christ. If you say, I surrendered my life to Christ a long time ago. Well, think about it. If you were trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, you were trusting that he died on the cross to pay the price for your sins, and you accepted his free gift of eternal life, and that's what you meant when you said, I'm surrendering my life to Christ, well, that's different. But if you're just saying, I'm surrendering my life to Christ, I'm going to turn over a new leaf, I'm going to give him whatever I am, whatever I have. Listen, surrendering your life to Christ is not getting saved. We're saved by receiving what God gives us, not by surrendering. Don't confuse surrendering, yielding, and presenting yourself for Christian service with accepting and believing for salvation. There's a difference. If you say, I want to live my life for God, that's great. But if you don't trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not saved. Do you see the difference there? Jesus said to these people, they said, listen, we've cast out demons, we've done many wonderful works, we've even been preaching in your name. And he said, I'm going to have to say to you, depart from me, I never knew you, because you didn't do the will of my Father. That is, to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. I hope you understand the difference. I hope you understand, it's not about surrendering my life to Christ. That's a good thing. It's a good thing to surrender your life to Christ. But that doesn't forgive your sins. And that doesn't save you. Salvation is not coming to Christ and promising to serve Him from now on. I've been in churches where at the end of the message, they'll say, who wants to come to Christ and promise to serve Him from now on? Well, I want to do that. I think most of us want to do that. But that's not what saves us. Salvation happens when you realize you're a sinner and you trust that Jesus Christ died on the cross and you accept His free gift of eternal life. It's that simple, but it's not just saying, I'm going to give my life to Christ. A person can come to Christ and promise to serve Him and still not be saved. Salvation is not asking Jesus to come into your heart. We hear that sometimes, but we're not saved by asking Jesus to come into our heart. We're saved by trusting in His death for us. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. It was Jesus dying on the cross and shedding His blood that pays for our sins. The Holy Spirit indwelling us is a result of being saved, but it's not how you get saved. So some of us may, I did when I was 5 years old. This is what I said, please come into my heart. Now if that is the words that you say, but in your heart you mean, I'm a sinner and I'm trusting you to pay the price for my sin and I'm accepting your free gift, then that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. But for somebody just to say, I want Jesus in my heart. Jesus, please come into my heart. Without realizing that you're a sinner, without trusting that He died on the cross to pay the price for your sin, without accepting His free gift, then you've asked Him to come into your heart, but you're not saved. Hope you understand the difference. It's a subtle difference sometimes because you may have meant all those things when you prayed that, and I did when I prayed that to be saved. But just asking Him to come into my heart is not the thing that saves me. It's trusting Him that He died on the cross to pay the price for my sins that saves me. I hope you understand that. I hope you understand the difference there. It's trusting and accepting that saves, not asking Him to come into my heart. Salvation is not making your commitment to Christ right now, and this is very common. This is very common in a lot of churches at the end of the church service to ask people who would like to make their commitment to Christ right now. I mean, all of us would like to do that, but making a commitment doesn't save us. It's like giving up something for Lent or for your birthday or for your anniversary or whatever you want to give something up for. If I give something up, that doesn't save me. That's me doing something. So making my commitment to Christ right now is a good thing. It could be serving God. It could be breaking wicked habits. It could be obeying my parents. It could be trying to do right, changing friends or changing my lifestyle. But committing or promising something to God is a work on my part. It's me doing something. And we're not saved by our promises to God. We're saved by believing in Christ's work for us. Do you see the difference there? I am saved. You are saved. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you are saved because you trusted Jesus Christ and you accepted His free gift of eternal life, not by making a commitment to Him. Salvation is believing God and accepting God's free gift of forgiveness and eternal life that Jesus Christ died on the cross to purchase. I can't purchase it. You can't purchase it. Trusting Jesus Christ as the only payment for your sins and the only way to heaven. That's what salvation is about. Believe God enough to ask Him to save you. The Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And even understanding that, if I just call the Lord's name and say, Lord, Lord, that's exactly what Jesus said. You said that, but that doesn't save you. You trust that Jesus Christ died on the cross. He paid the price for all your sins. You accept His payment. You accept His forgiveness. And God says, that is what saves you. For whosoever, the Bible says, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means anybody. That means whoever you are, wherever you're from, whatever you have done that's right or wrong, whatever it is, whoever you are, if you would call upon the name of the Lord and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says you shall, the promise shall be saved. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes just for a moment. And with your head bowed and your eyes closed, I'd like to ask you to think about something. Am I trusting Jesus Christ and His complete payment on the cross for my sins to save me? Am I trusting that Jesus did everything necessary for my salvation? Or am I trusting something else? Am I trusting being good? Am I trusting going to church? Am I trusting making a decision for Christ or making a commitment to Christ or those different things? Or am I trusting Jesus Christ and His payment on the cross for my sin? Before we do anything, let me ask you this. If you'd say, Pastor Reyes, this morning, I want to make the decision to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. I want to make the decision to accept His free gift of forgiveness and eternal life. And I'm not going to trust anything else. I'm simply going to trust in Jesus Christ as the complete and only payment for my sin. You say, Pastor Reyes, I want to do that this morning. Raise your hand real high if that's you. You say, that's what I want to do. I want to make that decision. I want to make the decision this morning to stop trusting myself to get me to heaven. I want to make the decision this morning to stop trusting being a member of a church or being good or whatever it is, but I'm simply going to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior this morning. If that's you, would you raise your hand real high? I see that hand. Keep it up just for a moment. I see that hand. Anybody else? Who else would say, this morning, I want to make the decision to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I'm not going to trust anything else, just Him. Anybody else? You'd say, I want to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior this morning. Father, I pray that You would help us to make the right decision right now. Lord, there are folks here this morning who want to trust You as their Savior. And Lord, this morning, I pray that You'd help them to do that. Lord, there are some who raised their hand, and Lord, there are some who didn't. But Lord, as we take just a couple minutes for this invitation time, I pray that You would help us to do business with You this morning. And I pray that You would guide us, and You guide those who want to trust You as their Savior.